Father, we just thank you tonight as we lay everything aside, everything, Lord. And for the next few minutes, we focus totally on you, the Holy Spirit, and your word. And we have come as an expectant people tonight. We believe with all of our heart that you're not only here among us and also living in us, but you want to do something for us. Because, Lord, you love us and you died for us. And, Lord, you're the head of the church and we're the people of your pasture. Visit our hearts tonight. Visit our frail bodies, oh God, and touch us and bring healing to those that are ill. Lord, we just lift up, speaking of those, Lord, for Yolanda who's in the hospital, just asking you, Lord, to touch her body, giving the doctors wisdom and bring healing to them. And, Lord, to comfort the Hammerback family with the loss of Carl this week and just being with them in a mighty way and continuing to heal Ken Vega, Lord, and Sherwin, Roy Pipes, all the Steve Edwards, all the people, Lord, that we're praying for each day. Touch them. And Lord, be with us now. Touch bodies. Remove physical ailments and mental and spiritual, whatever it might be. We know that with you, nothing is impossible. Now, Lord, bless me tonight and help me to teach your word accurately and truthfully. Use me as your willing vessel, O Lord. And let your word burn in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's turn tonight to Leviticus, our favorite book in the Bible that we've just, I mean, I've had so many requests for these sermons. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to be in Leviticus chapter 5 tonight. If you're going to punish me, I might teach three chapters, okay? So don't do that. We're going to talk about the trespass offering tonight. Remember, we're loving Leviticus. I don't know if you love it or not, but we should love all the Word of God. Amen? And Leviticus is, as you already know, it's the call to holiness. That's the theme. Throughout the book of Leviticus, the 27 chapters, God says, "You be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord." So it's that call to holiness. And it's talking about not only to us, but those who, the children of Israel, those who have redeemed out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. As I've told you many times, the book of Leviticus is the first book that Jewish mothers would teach to their children, and yet it's the least or the most neglected book for a Christian found that they look in the Bible. And so we want to study this and understand it. That's why we've taken so long just on these five sacrifices. And of course, the last sacrifice we will cover tonight is called the trespass offering. And remember that each of the offerings point to Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done. And so tonight, as we look at the trespass offering, we'll find out that that's a sin against the holy things of God. It also can be when we trespass against our neighbor, take advantage, lie, cheat, or whatever. And so there's always a restitution that has to be made for that. And some say that the trespass offering actually doesn't begin in chapter 5 until verse 14. It doesn't begin in verse 1, in other words. I'm not going to labor on that, and I respect many of the people who hold that view, and I honor them. I'm certainly not a gigantic biblical scholar, you know, or whatever. I haven't written any great books, but I believe that it starts in verse 1. And so the reason I say that is because even though when we get into it, the sin offering is mentioned more than the trespass offering until we really get to chapter 14, you know, the thing is, it seems almost that they are interchangeable. I know that they're not, but they certainly work together. And they are two distinct sacrifices. But with all that being said, let's go ahead and treat it as beginning in verse 1 about the trespass offering, and let's see what it has to say tonight. It says, if a person sins, and then it tells us how they sin, in the hearing, the utterance of an oath. And if that person is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the matter, if he does not tell it, in other words, if he fails to do what is right, it says here, he bears guilt. Now, when we're talking about chapter 5 here in the trespass offering, this right here is not referring to just knowing about information. There's nothing, no sin in knowing information. The sin here is knowing information and then withholding that information when it's to do good. And the reason I say that is, like, for example, if we're called before the court of law, just like they could be called before the elders and so forth of Israel, In other words, back then they had to swear or bring an oath by two or more witnesses. But today, what do? We go to the court and we say, you know, that we raise our right hands. We say we swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. And so we're swearing to that what we're saying is the truth. You know, the Bible tells us in James 5:12, it says, but above all, brethren, do not swear either by heaven nor by earth or with any oath. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. You know, when it talks about the trespass offering here, and it talks about how knowing information and withholding that information, in other words, not telling the truth or withholding the truth. You know, I was not too long ago a character witness in the courts in downtown Fort Worth. And I learned a lot by going down there, because especially developing patience, because you're going to wait forever to get in. They tell you to be there at 8:30, and about 1 o'clock it finally begins. You know what I'm saying? And so, but what I was down there, and what I learned is that, you know what, we live in a time, and I know you know this, this is not any deep revelation, but we live in a time when not everyone's word can be trusted. Amen? I mean, I'm not being naive tonight. I'm just being very honest. And, you know, just because someone makes an oath, puts their hands upon the Bible, stands before the judge, and is seated in the seat, and a lawyer, attorney, or judge, whatever, is asking him or her questions, it doesn't mean that they're telling the truth. Amen? As I sat there, and that judge, this is truth, the attorney was asking this person on the stand all these questions. I'm sitting there as a character witness, waiting to be called. And I'll tell you what happened. The judge literally looked over and leaned down at the woman who was telling supposedly the truth. And he said this, I'll never forget it. He said, young lady, do you know that it's a felony to lie? In other words, to perjure yourself? I suggest you get out of your chair, go have a private meeting with your attorney, let him explain perjury to you, and you come back unless you want to go to prison. I'm going, yes, sir, Your Honor, I'll tell you the truth, you know? And so what I'm saying is, you know what? Whatever we say, let it just be the truth. Because whenever a person is talking, he's going to tell you the truth or he's going to tell you the lie. I just rather do this. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Amen? And so this, talking about the trespass offering. Now watch this. For if a person touches anything unclean, or any unclean thing, whether it is a carcass of an unclean beast, or the carcass of an unclean livestock, or the carcass of an unclean creeping things, and he's unaware of it. Now, I don't know how he could be unaware of it, okay? But if he is, he shall also be unclean and guilty. Or if he touches human uncleanness, whatever uncleanness is with a man may be defiled and he's unaware of it. When he realizes it, then he shall be guilty. In other words, there is an offering that's going to be required of him. Now, I'm going to cover that more in depth in chapter 11, but look at verse 4. Or if a person swears, in other words, he takes a vow, but look how he does it. Speaking thoughtlessly, in other words, in a rash manner, or he's just caught up in the moment, if you will. If he's speaking thoughtlessly with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatever it is that a man may pronounce by an oath that he is unaware of, and when he realizes, in other words, he remembers that he did make an oath, what he's done, then he shall be guilty in any of these matters. Boy, I'll tell you, the pitfalls of carelessness in speech, amen? Have you ever said things and you wish you could take them back? But once the words leave your mouth, they're there. And do you know words matter, because words have power? I mean, you know, words can hurt. Amen? I mean, you can say to your, tomorrow's a, what is tomorrow? Valentine's Day. The heck is that? That's tomorrow. Thank you, Kent. Listen, you can say words like, I love you. Doesn't it, it's funny when you say, I mean, have you ever told someone that you know you love them and they look at you and, you know, like, what did you just say to me? No, they say, do you really, you love me? You know, but if you say something like, you know, I don't love you anymore. I'm in love with somebody else and I'm leaving. Do those words hurt? They wound forever. Words have so much power. And so we have to be so careful in what we say. That's what the Lord is saying there. He's talking about just what comes out of our mouth. And you know, the fact of the matter is, how many promises, and let's all of us be honest, how many promises have we all made to others and not kept. Gosh, I'm guilty of that. You know, I like to keep my word, don't you? I like to be a man of my word, and I know you want to be the same thing. It says in Leviticus 5:5, now watch this, and it shall be when he is guilty of any of these matters, meaning verses 1-4 that I just read to you, any of these matters, what's he going to do? He has to confess that he has sinned in that thing, and he shall bring his what? Trespass offering. It's an offering of guilt. I've done wrong. I'm indebted now. I'm in trouble. And he'll bring it to the Lord for his sin which he's committed, the female from the flock, a lamb or a kid or a goat, as a sin offering. So here we have them combined now, as I was talking to you about earlier. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin. In other words, atonement, to cover it, to completely forget it, for it to be forgiven. Confession is now commanded for the very first time in the offerings. Very interesting. The other times in the offerings, remember, they'd come and they would lay their hand upon the head of the animal. Remember that? Leaning upon it. The transfer there of the guilt, the shame. And it was openly acknowledged, hey, I've blown it. But here you have to come and say, you know what? I realized I've made a mistake. I made a vow. I didn't keep that promise. I've said things I shouldn't have said. And now that I'm aware of it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the Lord. I'm going to offer him not only the sin offering, but the trespass offering as well. And I'm going to confess it. Aren't you glad that we can go and confess our sin? And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Oh, what a great people we are, the church. Never, ever forget that. Never forget that God, listen, never. You may be tonight in a state to where you feel you're not going to make it. You ever feel like that? You know what? If you're, say, for example, you're tired and you're worn out and you're weary and you just say, I can't go on another day. Have you ever been like that? I'm telling you that you're going to make it. And I'll tell you why. Because greater is he who is in you than he that is in this world. Amen. You're not going to go down. God is the lifter of your head. And if you fall down, he's going to pick you up. And if you can't walk, he'll drag you. You're going to make it home in Jesus' name. Amen. Know that he's with you all the days of your life. And that goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. We're not going under. We're going to go over because we've already won. Amen. All right. With all that being said now, we look at this in verse 7. And God says, okay, if he's not able to bring a lamb, in other words, for this trespass on and the sin offering and so forth, then he'll bring to the Lord for his trespass, which he's committed, what? 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons. One is a sin offering, the other is a burnt offering. And so he shall bring them to the priest and shall offer the flock, which is for the sin offering. He'll do that first, and he'll wring off its head from the neck. We've already studied all that. I don't need to go into detail about that again, do I? That poor bird. And shall not divide it completely, but he'll sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering on the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood he shall be drained out at the base of the altar. It's a sin offering. And he shall offer the second as a burnt offering. So you have these 2 offerings here. And according to prescribed manner, so the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin, which he's committed. And thank God, it's going to be forgiven him. The blood, the blood, the blood. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is absolutely no remission, no forgiveness of sin. Amen. It's always in the blood. Listen to me now. God, what we learn in Leviticus is that God says, you can only approach me one way. And you have to approach me my way. And you come by the way of an innocent life. You come by the blood. That's the only way you can come to me. Because why? I'll tell you why. Because our sin is so horrible. Sin that that's so just flippantly thought about today. Is the sin of man is so vile and so horrible that God says, if you're going to come to me, I require a very costly gift. I require the life of someone else if you're going to approach me. If it's a little turtle dove, a pigeon, you're going to have to wring its neck off. You're going to have to take that blood and you're going to sprinkle it and then sprinkle it, the rest of it, down on the base of the altar. But you can't come to me except by the blood. Aren't you glad that we're covered in the blood of Jesus tonight? And we have access to our Father in heaven because of our relationship with Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, we're cleansed from all sin. I'm talking about trespassing against God tonight, trespassing against one another. The things that we do to God and the things that we do to each other. God says, no, it has to be cleansed by the blood. And then he says, if he's not able to bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, then he who has sinned shall bring forth his offering 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a sin offering. He shall put no oil on it, nor shall he put frankincense on it. It's a sin offering. Then he shall bring it to the priest. The priest shall take his handful of a memorial portion. In other words, he'll take his part and he'll burn it on the altar. The memorial portion goes to the Lord and he'll burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire to the Lord. It's a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement for him for his sin that he has committed in any of these matters, the matters we've been talking about. It shall be forgiven to him, and the rest of that offering, it says, shall be the priest as the grain offering. So when we look at this, God's saying, I'm not going to leave anybody out. Maybe, you know, you don't have a big fat sheep to bring. You know what I'm saying? Or a goat or whatever. Okay. Or even a turtle dove, or not even maybe a little pigeon. Okay. If you can't afford that, God says, here's the deal. Even the poorest person in Israel could bring that. Well, what was it called there? That ephah of fine flour. In other words, it, you know what that amounts to basically is a piece of bread, a slice of bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Amen. He said, if you can't bring any of the others, just bring a slice of bread for this offering. And then he says, then the Lord spoke to Moses. Remember, God is no longer on Mount Sinai now. He's in the tabernacle. It's been built and it's been dedicated. The glory of the Lord has filled it. And now we're learning about the sacrifices that God requires. And the priesthood begins, I think, in chapter 8. So we haven't even begun the priesthood yet. Now he says, if a person commits a trespass and sins unintentionally in regard to the holy things of the Lord, the holy things of the Lord, maybe bringing the wrong type of offering or robbing God of his tithes or whatever, then he shall bring to the Lord as his, here it is, trespass offering, a ram without blemish from the flocks, with your valuation in shekels of silver according to the shekel of the sanctuary as a trespass offering. Now look what he has to do. He shall make restitution for the harm that he has done in regard to the holy thing and add one-fifth to it and give it to the priest. And so the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and then it'll be forgiven him. Boy, and I'm going to tell you what, why don't we have to do that today? Wouldn't that great? Think about it. Man, you just trespassed against God, you know? Came into the church and did something wrong and overturned a chair, let your kids jump up on the chairs out in the lobby or something. You know, that's the holy things of God. Oh my, come over here, bring a ram. That ram was one of the most expensive things you could bring. And let the priest look at it. So, you know, we get an elder, somebody at the church, say, that's pretty sad looking ram. Was it crippled and it's limping and whatever? Go get me a better one. That's, they would give an evaluation of it. You understand? God says, no, you're not going to bring me the worst, you're going to bring me the best. But then the priest would look at it and said, let's add about 20%, okay, money. In other words, restitution. See, you've just messed with God. Are you following me? See, God's very serious about these things. We look at this and say, I don't need to learn this. Yes, we do need to learn it. God says, you can only come to me one way. You don't worship, God says, you don't worship me your way. You worship me my way because I'm protecting you. God says, you bring that ram as a trespass offering. No blemish on it, no defects. Come on. Now, I want 20% silver, or the shekels there of the sanctuary. Boy, listen, imagine doing that. That'd clear the church out in a hurry, wouldn't it? Talking about, you know, that monetary restoration or restitution to God. And look at verse 17. If a person sins and commits any of these things that are forbidden or done by the commandments of the Lord, though he doesn't know it, yet he is guilty. He's going to bear his iniquity. God says, even if you don't know you're doing wrong, you're still guilty. God says, I'm a holy God. Amen? And he shall bring to the priest a ram without blemish from the flock, and with your valuation as a trespass offering, so the priest shall make atonement for him regarding his ignorance, in which he's erred and didn't know it. It'll be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. Now listen very carefully. To sin against God is the same as sinning, or to sin against God's people is the same as sinning against God. Think about that for a minute. And I look at this and look at verse 6. And we just have 7 verses, then we're going to make application. But watch this. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, if a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor, you know, like your next door neighbor. I can't get your mail. I'm going to be out of town. You're going to be out of town. I'm sorry. Can't get your mail. I'm going to be gone. That's not true. You know you're going to be there. You still want to get the mail. Hold on. I'm trying to get this right tonight too, okay? Lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping. You know, you leave $15,000 with your next door neighbor, but you keep this till I get back. And they come, well, I don't know what happened to it. It's gone. It says, and you keep it for safekeeping or about a pledge or about a robbery or if he has extorted it from his neighbor or if he has found what was lost and he lies. Oh, I found that $20,000 you left with me. I don't know what happened, but I thought somebody broke in and robbed it. Now I'm drawing interest on it, man, you know. No, it says, if he's done that, if he's extorted from his neighbor, found what was lost, lies concerning it, swears falsely in any one of those things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty. Look what he should do. He shall restore what he has stolen or the thing which he has extorted or what was delivered to him for safekeeping or the lost thing which he found or all about which he has sworn falsely. He shall restore to its full value. Boy, that is a great deal, isn't it? But not only that, add 1/5 more to it. In other words, add a 20% fine for what you've done to me and give it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. And it shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish or in the flock, for your evaluation as a trespass offering to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. It shall be given, forgiven for any of these things which he have done in which he has trespassed. Now, with all that being said now that I hurried through that, it's important to remember that each time that we have an offering, you know, a burnt offering, a grain offering, you know, whatnot, a trespass offering, that we also have the law of, say, the burnt offering or the law of the trespass offering. Now, I've covered that every time we had an offering. I've covered the law of whichever offering it was. Here, this offering is found in chapter 7, and I'm not going to cover all of it. You can read it. It's just a few verses. But in other words, on the law of the trespass offering, the innocent ram, remember, is going to be killed, and all the fat was going to be burned because the fat was the choice part. Remember, it's going to be burned and then given to the Lord, and the priest would take a portion of it, but he would also get the hide. That's the law of that, okay? Now listen, I want to make application of what we've just learned about the trespass offering. What does the trespass offering from the old covenant that we carry now into new covenant, what does it teach us? Well, it teaches us several things. The first thing it teaches us is this, that the nation of Israel had at least 5 specific offerings that they had to offer to the Lord, you know, the sacrifices, to maintain and to keep a right relationship with God. Can you imagine that? Day after day, all the things that you have to go through. I mean, to keep yourself in God's eyes, okay, you can approach me. You know, 5 sacrifices. You know what the Bible says about our Lord? It says in the New Covenant, it says in Hebrews 10:12, but this man, meaning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our great high priest, but this man, after he had offered not 5 sacrifices, although he fulfilled all 5 sacrifices, he offered 1 sacrifice for sins forever. He sat down at the right hand of God. Aren't you glad tonight that all of our sin has been completely taken care of? And I thank God for that. So that's the first thing it teaches us. The second thing it teaches us is that when we wrong our neighbor, we have wronged God. In other words, we trespass then against both. You remember when David, there, when it says in the spring, when the time when kings go out to war in the Bible, you know, he didn't go out to war. He should have kept his armor on, but he did not. But he looked down and he saw a beautiful woman taking a bath. Her name was Bathsheba. You know the whole story. I won't get into it. But because of Bathsheba and because he slept with her, he had Uriah, her husband, murdered in battle. Sent him out and had him murdered, basically. Now listen, the Bible teaches us in 2 Samuel 12:13, David said this about what he did. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. Well, wait a minute. You sinned against Bathsheba? You sinned against Uriah the Hittite? You know what I mean? David said, no, I've sinned against him. But now here's the problem. I have sinned against the Lord. I've sinned against God. See, when we trespass and do what's wrong against our brother, our sister, it's the same as doing it to God. Amen? You ever look at it like that? That's exactly what the Bible teaches. You remember in Acts chapter 9, when Saul, who was no, he wasn't Paul yet, he was Saul. and he was on the road to Damascus. He was there. He was hunting down Christians like a wild man and putting women and children in prison and having them recant their confession of Jesus Christ. And so remember, the Lord met him and there was a blinding light and he fell off his horse or whatnot. And when he fell to the ground, it said he heard a voice. It says in Acts chapter 9, he said, "I heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" Jesus didn't say, "Why are you persecuting the church?" Amen. Paul was he making havoc of the church? Absolutely. He was like a wild animal. He was doing anything he could to destroy it. But Jesus, when he appeared to him the first time, told him, he said, "Paul," or "Saul, Saul, why? Why are you persecuting me?" That ought to tell us something right there. And I pray that that great truth would penetrate all of our hearts tonight. Listen, every blow inflicted upon us or when we inflict on our brothers and sisters, let me tell you something, Jesus feels it. Do you believe that? Jesus, "Why are you persecuting me?" Boy, we need to understand. That's why it's so horrible for when Christians lie one to another. You know, the Bible says, don't lie to one another. We're members of one another. What a horrible thing to do is when Christians who are in the same body. I mean, would you want your right lung all of a sudden to start lying to your left lung? "Hey, you know what? I'm just going to play for about 10 minutes. I can't breathe. But don't worry, I'll start breathing again." No, you want your whole body to tell you the truth, amen? No, that's right. And I look and I say, "Oh Lord, you know what? We're your body, we're on earth." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." So when we start thinking about trespassing against one another, We're also trespassing against God. He feels that pain. He feels the blows, believe me. So if we start lying about one another or gossiping or slandering, or if we refuse to walk in forgiveness, or if we refuse God's authority in the church, whatever it might be, listen to me, then we're persecuting Jesus because we are his body. We're inflicting blows on his body. He's the head. We're his body. I promise you, listen to me. Here's my head and here's my foot. If I had a sledgehammer and went over and hit my foot, or let's do it this way. If I went over and hit Daryl's foot, would your head know it? Immediately. And then he would try to punch me. Do you understand? So listen, whenever we're doing, if we do those things to one another, we're hurting one another. We're hurting Jesus. It's just that simple. That's why Jesus told us about, and remember in the Lord's Prayer, you know, he went through the Lord's Prayer. He taught the disciples to pray. And you know what he ended it with? Remember how he said? He said this in Matthew 6:14. He says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Isn't that amazing? Hurting one another, doing things that are not right to one another. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 19:11, it says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger," and what? Listen to this, "and his glory is to overlook a transgression." Can I say something to you? Listen, I don't want to scare you, and I don't want to ruin your self-esteem, okay? But you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Matter of fact, there's not anyone that's perfect. We're all growing. We're all growing in grace. We're all growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's give each other a break, shall we? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know how hard it is to be a pastor and put up with all of you, you know? Now, if you're listening online, I smiled real big, okay? Listen, no. You know, you say, "Well, you don't know what that person, they transgressed against me. You don't know what they've done to me." Listen, Jesus is not in any instant asking you to walk in denial about your pain. He says, "I know you're hurting. I know what they've done to you. Forgive them. Release them to me. Let me have them. Don't fall to the torturers, the bill collectors. They're gonna get every last cent. Believe me." Oh, no. Listen, forgiveness. You know, so many people say, "I can't forgive because I have to feel it." And I'm going, God didn't ask you to feel it. Forgiveness is not pardon. In other words, you know, I pardon you for what you've done to me. No, forgiveness is not pardon. And forgiveness is not an emotion. I have to feel it in my heart.
No, forgiveness is an act of obedience to God's word. Amen? And once we all learn that if someone has transgressed or trespassed over us, beat us up, gossiped, lied, whatever they've done, hurt us, you know, if we just say, you know, Lord, there they are. I forgive them because you've commanded me to do that. I'm doing it by your grace, by your ability, by your strength. Now I'm going to move on. You can have them. I like that. Take them. You know what I'm saying? Now, so the third thing the trespass offering teaches us is that sin, the word trespass actually means debt. It teaches us that sin is a debt. Do you ever look at sin that way? It's a terrible debt. It's a costly debt. Do you know that sin has cost more than Hurricane Sandy and all the problems that are having in this world and all the wars and all the earthquakes and all the famines and all the disease and all of it put together? Sin is the worst thing that ever hit this planet. I look at that and I just go, oh, it's such a robber. It, you know, the debt of sin. That horrible debt. And you know, man's sin had to be paid for. It must be paid for. And when we sin against God, we sin against man. And so it's costly. Listen to what it says in the book of Romans. It says in Romans 6:22, it says, but now having been set free from sin, having been, that means a past fact. We're in Christ, we're set free from sin. Now that doesn't mean that we're free from the influence of sin. It doesn't mean we're never going to sin, okay? But it means that sin is no longer our master. It says, having been set free from sin and having become, this is our present position in Christ, having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end, everlasting life. Isn't it wonderful that, you know, we're no longer enslaved by sin, that we're now slaves of God? And you know what? A lot of people don't like that word, slaves of God. We're slaves of God. Are we a slave of God? That's a question we need to ask ourselves. Now listen. Let me continue in Romans. It says the next verse in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin, we all know that scripture, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. You know, there are three kinds or types of death found in the Bible. We have physical death. Okay. In other words, one day if we're not raptured out of here, one day this old body is going to give out. Okay. So you have physical death. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. And it also, we have spiritual death. Spiritual death, where an unbeliever is dead in trespasses and in their sins. They have no spiritual life of their own. The Lord doesn't live in their hearts. They're natural man. And the only thing a natural man can welcome into their heart is the things of the world. They can't welcome the things of the Spirit into their heart. They're not born again. They don't understand it. It's foolishness to them. And so the third way, type of death that we have is eternal death. That is eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever and ever. Aren't you glad that our sin debt has been paid because Jesus is our trespass offering? Amen. Just turn in your Bible with me. I was reading from Romans. Go to Ephesians. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 just for a minute. Ephesians chapter 2, and look at verse 1. It says, and what? You. Who were, past tense, who were dead. And what were you dead in? Trespasses. Look at that word. Trespasses and sins. In other words, listen, it says you were dead. I was dead. Before I came to Christ, it says you were dead. I was dead. And I'm talking about a corpse, a spiritual corpse. I had no spiritual life in me at all. Talking about Jesus as our sin offering, okay? Talking about being what we used to be, dead in trespasses, dead in sins. And it says we were dead. It didn't say you were ill. It didn't say you had like this horrible junk that all of us have been suffering for. You know what I'm saying? You've been, make you put you right into the bed, flat on your back for days. You know what I'm talking about. That's no fun. You feel like you're dead, but you're not dead. You're still breathing. You know, and so it says you're not dying even. It says you're completely dead. In other words, we were dead to God. But look what we were alive to. We were alive to trespasses. We were alive to sin. And that's what we're talking about. Now listen, our condition was so horrible that only God could change it. Look down at verse 4 of Ephesians 2. It says, look what God, he did something about it. But God, not religion, but God, who is rich, in other words, exhaustless, unlimited in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. God loves you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that he loved us even when we were dead. Even past tense, even back then when we were dead, in what? Trespasses. Has made us what? Alive together, all of us, together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Not the activity of man, not by being good enough, not by keeping a bunch of rules. It's by simple grace. You believed in Christ. He came, our sin offering, our trespass offering. He took our trespasses. Amen? He took all of our sin. Look over at Colossians with me. Just turn. It's just Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And look to chapter 2, about verse 11, and I'll be there in just a minute. Jesus is our trespass offering, okay? Jesus not only paid the penalty of our sin, he made restitution to God by restoring us so we would be in right standing with God. Boy, that is such a blessing. You know, we say that tonight, and I don't know how that makes you feel, but I'm going to tell you, there are times if I do not constantly renew my mind to who I am in Christ, I'll be defeated. And I hate to be defeated. I hate to be down. You understand? I hate to all of a sudden have the burden of the ministry, the burden of so much pain in the church or other places or whatever. You know, listen, potential. Oh, man, potential. The possibility of becoming what we already are. We are already forgiven. We are already in Christ. Amen? You know, listen, I know I need to hurry, but let me say something. I went to the zoo. It was a moving experience. And I went to the zoo because my lovely wife, you know, has begged. No, she hasn't begged me. That's not correct. Pleaded with me? Anyway, to take her. I was so sad when I left the zoo. I mean, I walked through everything. I walked so much. I was hurting. My whole body hurt the next day. I did so much walking. And I, you know, and I would, and you know, listen, I like, for example, the what's that? Is it the silverback gorilla? Huh? Think about that. You know how big he is? I'm sitting there and there's a big glass in front of me and there's a silverback gorilla, you know, and he's sitting there. And so he has his back to me. I'm looking at the glass and he's occasionally he'll just look up at me like that and turn back around. And I'm going, man, you don't have any life. And I went and saw all these animals and I was looking at the elephants. They just turned away from me. And that's the truth. And then I saw the great white tiger. And you know what? Here was a glass and there was this big open whatever they live in. And he was just going back and forth. 8 foot long glass. And he would just walk and turn around and just pacing. And he would rub his face. And I got right down. He wouldn't even look at me. And then I went to the saddest thing. I'm going to tell you where I'm going. Just hold on. Then I saw the king of the jungle. What is he called? The lion. You know, with the mane. I filmed him. I watched him. I was just sitting there watching because I was so tired. I sat down in this little place. And all of a sudden he got up and he started walking to the, they had a point like in the movie of the Lion King, that rock way high. And he walked to the highest point he could. And then he started roaring. And I was going, oh my gosh, I'm going to film this, man. You know, and he roared and roared and everybody in the whole zoo could hear him. And then he just fell down. And you know why it made me so sad? Because all those animals are in captivity. And they don't like it there. And they're never going to reach their potential. Do you understand? No, no, no. They're never going to be what they're supposed to be, ever. They're going to be fed at a certain time. They're going to be groomed at a certain time. People are going to look at them. No wonder they have a complex. I mean, that gorilla that was looking at me, I felt sorry for him. He looked at me. You know, I mean, you think that, listen, You don't understand. This side, you understand that kind of compassion. Weren't you here Sunday about compassion? No. They're never going to reach their potential. They're never going anywhere. No wonder they turn their back. You know, it's just sad to me. Listen, I'm not in captivity. You're not in captivity. We've been set free. The chains are totally off of us. Amen? We're in Christ Jesus. We're a new creation. We're born again. We're children of the King. We belong to another world, a world that's coming. We're not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. We've been redeemed. We've been purchased. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And all of our sin and all of our trespasses, God has wiped them clean. Amen? And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, Jesus, you are my debt offering, my trespass offering. You've paid it all. When Jesus said in John 19:30, he said, it's finished. That means our salvation. There's nothing more needed. If you're in Christ, it's finished. Amen? Now we're just growing in Christ's likeness and moving forward in Christ's likeness, walking in the gifts, walking in his power. How dare the world tell us how to have marriage? Do you understand? How dare the world tell us how to have marriage or how to raise our children? No. God is my Father. We're slaves of God now. He says, do it this way. We say, yes, sir. Do you understand? And then we have the victory. That's how we walk in that victory. And I look at this and I say, Lord, look there in Colossians chapter 2 and look at verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision, not made without hands. In other words, supernatural. By the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Now watch this. Buried with him, meaning Jesus. Meaning when Jesus was buried, Christian, you were buried. Buried with him in baptism. That's speaking of the new birth. The new birth, 1 Corinthians 12:31. The new birth, being baptized into the body of Christ. The next time somebody asks you if baptism saves you, what you need to say is, which baptism? You understand? Which baptism? Not does baptism save you? Of course it does. It saves you, but not the water. It's when 1 Corinthians 12:31, when you're being put in or placed in the body of Christ, baptized by the Spirit, being adopted and sealed. Amen? Now, does that baptism save you? You better believe it does. Now, it says, if we were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also, well, this is something that's already occurred, raised with him. How? Through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So Christ's death is our death. Christ's burial is our burial. Christ's resurrection is our resurrection. Jesus died, listen, not only died for me, he died as me. Amen? Look what it says. And you being dead in what? There's that word. Dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven what? All trespasses. See, Jesus is our trespass offering. That's how that was accomplished. And look what that accomplished. Having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way. It means he removed it. How? Having nailed it to the cross. Now listen, when I think of sin, just not your sin, let me just use me, my sin. I don't like to think about my sins or any of it. But you know what? I'm sure that if from the time, I mean, I'm only 45, so whatever it goes back, 45 years, okay? You know, you put all the sins, I mean, page after page after page, I guess, I don't know, maybe a book, maybe a little novelette, maybe, you know, a whole encyclopedia. I don't really know, but I know this. I know it would go on page after page. All of my sin, all of my shame, all of my guilt, all of my false motivations. But listen to me. Jesus, our trespass offering, what happened when he went to the cross? It says that all those things that were written down against us, it says having nailed it to the cross. Listen to me now. Jesus is our trespass offering, Christian. And here's what this means. It means that there is no written accusation in heaven against you tonight. That's what it means. Do you understand? There's no handwriting. There's no list. Are you following me? oh, no, you, I don't think, why aren't we Pentecostal just for 5 minutes? You know what I'm saying? You know, at least we could have the handkerchief going, you know, and come on now. I shouldn't tease like that, you know. Our sins have been taken away. There's no accusation. The only thing in heaven when someone looks into your account and looks into my account, Christian, is this. It says the spotless, perfect, sinless record of Jesus Christ. That's what's there. Why can't we kick the can down the road and mope and weep and act like God doesn't care for us? What's wrong with us? I look, I say, oh God, listen to me. You mean, Lord, you really mean Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and following? You mean that Romans 8, 1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus? Listen, Romans 8 opens with no condemnation. It ends with no separation. There is, in between all of that, it's all wonderful. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, if you're in Christ Jesus. Oh, you may be falling down, staggering, trying to get over that addiction, whatever it might be. God is not pleased with that addiction, no. But if you belong to Him, He's going to take it out of your life. You understand? He doesn't give up on sheep. Sheep give up on sheep, but the shepherd never gives up on you. He's going to work in you, and He knows the right time to crush you, to break your leg. He knows when, so you'll stop. He knows how to do it, and He does it so perfectly. If money's your thing and you're in love with money, oh, I'm telling you, He's going to take you down a road. He's a jealous God. He's not going to say, you can love this and love that. It won't work that way. No. Jesus is our sin offering. And you know something? God does not hold our sins against us. And I beg you tonight that you see yourself as God sees you. Listen, forgiveness of sin, does it depend upon you? No. It depends upon what? The blood. The blood of the offering, the sacrifice. Jesus. That's what our cleansing depends upon. All we have to do is turn to the Lord. You know, there's something special about a person, a Christian, who knows that their sin is forgiven. No, he knows it. She knows it. They know. They hate what they've done, but they know they've been cleansed. Amen. There's no condemnation. Well, I failed in that marriage. Well, God, that's a horrible thing to fail in. I committed adultery. Oh, God, that's horrible. I was a terrible mother. I was a horrible father. I failed. Are you in Christ right now? Did you come to Him? Therefore, there is now no more judgment. All that's washed away, and know what? He'll make you a father. He'll make you a mother. He'll secure your marriage, and you do it His way. Now listen, let's close. Let's go to Psalm 32, at David's Psalm. And we're going to close with that if you don't mind. Talking about Jesus as our sin offering tonight. Psalm 32. Look what David writes. Now, he's talking about when he sinned, that horrible sin with Bathsheba, when he committed adultery, and also the murder of Uriah the Hittite. And look what he says. He said, blessed is he whose what? Transgression is forgiven. Forgiving. That's more than remitting the penalty of sin, okay? That is literally taking his sin away. He says, whose sin is covered. Oh, thank God. You know, our sin is more than covered. Our sin has been canceled. Amen. Blessed. That word blessed means, oh, how happy. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. The word impute means to charge him. It means to treat him accordingly, like he's guilty. It says, no, blessed is the man who the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. There is a blessing when you know that your sins have been paid for. All that we've done, where you can put your head down at night and all the devil, he tries to bring up how we failed in the past and all of that. And God says, oh, no, 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 I see you in my son. Jesus paid for it all of it. And we need to say, oh God, thank you. You can have peace. And look what happens. You know, when we don't go to the Lord though, when we don't run to Him and confess our sin, look what happens. David says, oh, in verse 3, he said, oh, when I kept silent, look what happened to him. My bones grew old. In other words, sin weakens us. His strength was drying up. He says, and through all the groaning, all the day, he says, for day and night, he says, your hand, meaning God's hand, was heavy upon me, just squeezing on David. David, repent, repent. He says, and my vitality was turned, look at this now, because he didn't confess his sin. He says, my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. In other words, that spiritual dryness, when it's, you know, it's so empty and you just can't pray, you can't open your Bible, it's just bad. You know, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, he said this in Proverbs 28:13. He says, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes his sins will have mercy. That's what God wants you to, is to give us his mercy. Boy, it's a bad thing, you know, if we cover our sin instead of confessing it, trying to hide those things from God. No, listen, the more that David, and he delayed his confession, remember, for over a year, about what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. He didn't go to Nathan the prophet, finally had to go to him, man. And David suffered for a whole year because of what he had done and because he had sinned against God. But the moment that David repented, watch what happened in verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you, meaning to God, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. The joy of knowing that our sins have been forgiven. To go to the Lord and not walk away and say, oh, did you really, do you love me enough? Did you really forget? God loves you enough. He loves everyone enough. That's why the Bible is so clear. It says if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He's faithful and He's just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus is our burnt offering, that total dedication. He was totally dedicated to God. He went to the brazen altar, the altar, remember, the cross. He died outside of the camp for you and for me. He's our grain offering. He lived a perfect, spotless, sinless life. He's our peace offering. God only makes peace through one man, and that is the man Christ Jesus, His Son. And Jesus is our sin offering, and Jesus is our trespass offering. Listen, the Bible says in Romans 3:24, being justified, that means to be declared righteous, okay? Being declared righteous freely, freely, that means without any cost to you, to me, being justified or declared righteous freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now listen, I don't know, we should think of this all the time, and I don't think we do. God, through Jesus, our trespass offering, our sin offering, and all the other things that He is, gives us perfect standing in His sight. Now that's enough to make anyone rejoice. Where God says, I'm not mad at you. Oh, Christ, my Son, is going to be formed in you. Bill, He's going to be formed in your heart. You're going to grow in Christ's likeness. You're going to yield because you're going to walk in the Spirit. You're going to be led by the Spirit. The power of another is in our life. We have so much potential. We have so much in front of us. You have so much that God wants to do. I'll tell you what He wants to do. He wants to open the windows of heaven upon you to where the blessing that's being poured out, where you'll finally say, God, I can't take anymore. Please close up the windows. And we're not walking in that. But I'm telling you, it's available and it's ours. Let's not let the devil rip us off. Amen? You know, and I know it's time to go and I'm ready to go just as much as you are. But they're talking about cutting the spending in our military and our nation. I don't want to get into politics, and I'm not going to. But I'll tell you, we don't need to have a weak nation militarily, do we? I'm going to ask you a question. Let's look at it from our point of view. Which piece of the armor of God? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, all down to verse 19. Which piece of the armor of God are you willing to give up? You understand? You want to take away the shield of faith by which you can quench all the fiery darts of the devil? Here, we're going to have a military cutback in the spiritual realm. No more shield of faith. No more breastplate of righteousness. No more helmet of salvation. No more girdle of truth. No more feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. No more sword. Which one do you want to give up? Well, you're incomplete without them. Because each piece is Christ. Church, listen. Put on your armor. And you rise up and say, you know what? I know that I'm in a war. The weapons of my warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'm going to stand upon the rock, and Jesus Christ is my rock. I'm going to walk in these sayings of His. I'm building my life, my marriage, everything I do on the rock. Don't let the world trick you, the devil deceive you. Put on your armor. Know who you are in Christ. Know your position in Christ. Know what all those sacrifices that we've learned in loving Leviticus, that every one of them point to Jesus and what He's done for us. For us. For us. Father, we thank You tonight. If we've sinned by word, deed, thought, or action, if we've grieved, vexed, quenched the Holy Spirit of God in any way in our lives, Lord God, we repent before You. We confess our sin. We will not hide our sin. We confess it right now. We confess it. Lord, we want to please You. Oh God, some of us are tired and weak. Some of us are just suffering. Some of us are like those animals in the zoo. We've given up. We've turned our back. We don't want to face our problems. We look at our captivity and we feel hopeless and helpless. Oh God, I know that we are not hopeless. I know that we are not helpless. And this church and the people that are listening online tonight, we rise up in our spirit and we refuse to be defeated. We refuse. No matter what weapon that's formed against us, it will never prosper. We don't have to be afraid of anyone or anything except God, the one who numbers our hair, the one who puts our tears in His bottle and writes the book of remembrance about each tear, the one who cares for us, the one that said He will help us. Oh God, the one, You who said You would hold our right hand and say to us, fear not, I am with you. Let us rise up and let us face this world and face the enemy, Father, and know our position in You. Now bless them tonight. Supernaturally touch them tonight. Refresh and renew them tonight, Lord. Lord, answer their prayers quickly and speedily. Speak to them. Let a spirit of excitement and expectation overwhelm every person that's here in this chapel tonight. We love You and we praise You and we thank You for washing us in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the church says,